Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Thank you yet again. Sheikh, last time we spoke about how teenagers, they are in a sensitive phase in their lives where they are trying to find out who they are going to be. We also said that this could also be a dangerous phase because they can also fall into the wrong groups and groupings. So as parents, as Muslim religious parents, what can we do to protect our teenagers from falling into these categories?
One of the methods that we can use or follow to protect our kids from falling into wrong company is by identifying the different characteristics and traits of a teenager. If you understand what teenage is and the different characteristics that are there as part of the teenage age group, then you can plan and strategize and you can design a curriculum or a schedule in which you can address those needs, making sure that he's not falling short or he's not being hungered to fulfill his need and go out and look for it.
Right.
So we, if you look at the scenario now in our community or rather anywhere, if you look at the scenario, you would see that parents, when they're talking to their teenagers, there's always this awkward situation. Either there's this awkward silence or the father does not enjoy the company of his teenage son.
He doesn't speak when they are
present. Don't speak at all, or even if they speak, they're not enjoying the conversation. Why? Because the father is operating at a different level and the teenage son or the daughter is operating at...
There's no connection.
There's no connection happening. Right. The example, you know, if the father tells the child, go wash your plate, go wash your dish. The food that you had in the same plate, same dish, he's not going to touch it. He's like, not my job, right? But the same child you would see in community centers after Azadari, they are, you know, cleaning up the place, they're washing the dishes, they're doing the vacuum, they're mowing the lawn. But the same thing when you ask them to do it at home, they're not doing it. Right? Why? Because there's no connection happening. There's no relation happening.
There's nothing to build on upon. There's nothing binding you, unfortunately, to act upon what is being said.
And that is because of lack of analysis. You know, there's a concept called audience analysis that you need to know who you're dealing with. You need to know who you're discussing with. You need to know who the other person is so that when you talk to this person, you relate to this person, you converse with this person at the right tone, right level, with the right kind of words and the right kind of approach.
And of course, ideally, as a parent, you should already have that bond. Dear Sheikh, let's continue this discussion after a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you.
contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how we can prevent our teenagers, our children, from clicking or falling into bad groups of people who will unfortunately shape who they will become in the future. So, dear Sheikh, picking off where you left off, we said that even when a father, he asks his teenage son or daughter to do a thing, they refuse. In different scenario, when their friend, for example, asks them to do something, they are incredibly loyal and, mashallah, and best servant.
They would go out of their way to do things for their friends rather than for the parent. The father asks them to do something, he's not going to do it, but the friend asks him to do a tougher thing, a more difficult thing, and he goes ahead.
No problem at all.
No problem at all. Yeah. And this happens because the parents are not putting in effort to create a congenial environment at home. Because the environment at home is not congenial, the child, the teenager, he wants to spend more time out of the house. He wants to be there where the environment is more congenial.
He feels he is oppressed or imprisoned.
So, and that's why if you look at the teenagers, even in the movies or the serials and the TV shows that they show, the teenager is not in the main room, not in the hall.
Always
not in the
alone, away from the family.
From the family.
If he's present, he has headphones on. Or
exactly.
He's on the phone.
Or he's in his own room playing video games.
Right.
So literally disassociating himself with the family.
Literally.
Why?
Right.
Why? Because somewhere that congenial environment is missing, that connection that is supposed to
happen.
The
harmony, the bond that is supposed to exist.
And this is because the parents fail to understand some of the traits and characteristics of the teenagers. One of the traits and characteristics of the teenagers is their need, rather more than traits, I would say these are some of the needs that needs to be fulfilled. If these needs are not addressed, then the lack of addressing these needs would cause all this stubbornness, being rebellious, back answering, not listening to parents, disobeying, using inappropriate language. All this happens because some of the necessary needs are not being addressed. And one of them is the need to hang around with people of the same age.
Right.
So, as a teenager, there is a need that I need to hang around with people of my same age. Why? Because I need to see what they are doing, how they are learning, who their ideal person
is. Again, this is on a subconscious level.
Sometimes even at the conscious level. So, sometimes you would see that teenager, as a teenager, when they go to school, they're looking at other teenagers. For example, a kid moves into a new neighborhood, he goes to the school, and he looks at all the teenagers in that school, and he sees everyone's wearing a particular style of dress. Everyone's wearing a particular style of hairstyle, right?
Yes.
So, immediately, within a week, you will see that he's adjusted his hairstyle
to them. This flock mentality even applies to adults. You do not want to stick out.
You don't want to stick out as a
even more so as a teenager.
And so, because there is a need for them to associate with the same age group. To fit in. So they necessarily immediately bring about those changes. They change the color of the shirt. They're like, I don't want to wear this shirt. Why not? I just bought this for you, $30.
Right.
Brand new shirt. No, I don't want to wear it. Why? Because nobody in the school wears this dark burgundy color or navy blue color.
I stick out like a sore thumb.
And so I'll go by what everyone's going through, right? So there is this intense need for them to associate with the people of the same age.
Right. And on that, note, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back to your listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Dear Sheikh, just before we went on a break, you said that in people, and even more so in teenagers, there is an innate need to fit in, to go with the flow. Now, Sheikh, as a teenager, for example, in a Western society or a community that is not religious at all, but I am religious at home, will this, how should I say, that this lack of religiousness outside the home start to affect me on a personal level and my faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Absolutely, right? There's a term in psychology, it's called split personality. You know what is split personality? Split personality is two types of personalities living in one person, and this person is confused between which is his real entity. This is called split personality. But what you've mentioned as an example, I call that switch personality, meaning that he switches his personality based on where he is.
So is he a hypocrite? Can we say that?
You can say that. Look, if you look at it from the Darwin's point of view, he would call it adaptation. He would say
evolution.
Evolution.
Yes,
he's adaptability to different environments.
Survive, right?
Right? Survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah.
But from the Islamic point of view, as long as he is not acting in a way that is causing harm to others, we can't call him munafiq and hypocrite. What he is doing is, again, the need to fit in. When he comes home, the environment at home is religious, pious. Father is busy with prayers. Mother is, you know, the reciter. She's reciting Noha and Marcia and Mimber and eulogies and going to Azadari programs. So the son also tries to fit into that. And therefore, he's going to act religious at home, pious at home. And when he goes out, he's got all this, you know, friend circle, which is teenagers, and they're laughing and joking and cracking jokes and talking about Infinity, Avengers Infinity War, Endgame, and I don't know, all this MC universe.
Video games, music
video
also,
games
whatever
and
there is.
Call of Duty and all that. And he wants to fit into that, right? So he has to have that update that, oh, what's happening? What's new? Metaverse. What's Metaverse? I have no idea. Everyone's going to laugh at him.
Right. Yeah.
So he's going to fit in there. And when he comes home and he talks about Metaverse to his father, he's like, this is nonsense. Don't even pay attention to it. Like, it's the happening thing. I can't stay out of it. I can't ignore it. So with his friends, he's a different personality. And the moment he comes home, he switches his personality. And this is a very, very challenging state because he has to play two different personalities and he has to uphold two different entities. And that's a huge pressure on a teenager to maintain those two entities in their best form.
Some people, they call them personas that you are. It's also naturally you act differently based upon who you are with your friends, your own age group category of people you know for years. You're much more relaxed, laid back. But with older people, for example, like we are seminary students, when we are listening to the teacher, we're like much more reserved, right? We're much more respectful. We do not joke as much. We scroll back.
Again, let me point out, when I'm talking about switch personalities, I'm talking about a total 180-degree
change. How so, for example, if you might...
For example, let me put it this way. A pious... child, a pious teenager at home, you will find him doing, you know, all the duas and amal for Rajab, Mahe Rajab and Mahe Shaban and Mahe Ramzan. And when it's Shab-e-Qadr, the night of destiny, he's awake all night reciting Quran and all that. The very next day, he's fasting, but he's hanging around with his friends. He's going to use all the F words and he's going to use all the swear words. And he's
so like a complete personality disorder, perhaps.
I wouldn't call that a disorder. It's, again, an effort to fit in. Because
it's a conscious effort, so not a disorder,
exactly,
per se.
It's a conscious effort.
But that's not a good thing, Rajshir. That's horrible.
See, this is, again, because he has the need to be part of that group, right?
Right.
If this need is addressed or managed, or I won't say controlled, rather managed is the right word, is properly managed by the family, then he would not have this urge to hang around with the friends who are, you know, not in that kind of a pious environment, right?
Because we do have a narration that says about this, قَارَنْ أَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ تَكُنْ مِنْهُمْ. Associate yourselves with good people, you shall become of them, and بَيْنْ أَهْلِ الشَّرْ تَبِنْ عَنْهُمْ. And disassociate yourself
from those who are sharp.
Right, so it's not a good thing to associate yourselves with both groups.
Let me point this out to you. The teenager is at such an age that he is not able to differentiate between shar and the khair.
Right.
For him, this being pious is also khair, and being with those friends is also khair. Why? Because when he goes there, he does not have anyone else to mingle with, right? And he notices, he sees that all the other kids who are pious at home are same outside.
Right, yes.
So he's like, I'm part of the group.
This.
Yeah, I'm part of the group. I'm not doing anything odd and out of the place, right?
Right. Sheikh, I would love to continue this discussion, but we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for contributing to this discussion, and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.